You are listening to Striving to Thriving, your resource for information and encouragement for reclaiming your life from chronic pain. I'm your host and certified health and wellness coach, David Hall. In these podcasts, I discuss the biological, psychological, and social aspects of living with chronic pain and promise to do so with kindness, hope, and encouragement. If you live with chronic pain or know someone who does, you've come to the right place, and I hope you will listen and subscribe. This podcast is for you, so your input is greatly appreciated and needed in order for me to make our time together have the greatest value for you. If you have ideas or topics you feel are important to the chronic pain community, please shoot me an email to david@strivingtothriving.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll try to incorporate your ideas where appropriate. All listeners assume responsibility for their own medical care, treatment, and oversight. All the content provided in this podcast, including treatments, dosages, profiles, advice, are for informational purposes and does not constitute the providing of medical advice, nor intended to be a substitute for independent professional medical judgment, advice, diagnosis, or treatment. I dedicate this podcast to the fond memory of Dr. Lisa Jo Stearns. She was my pain specialist, mentor, and friend. Without her inspiration, this podcast would not be possible. Greetings and good day. Today's continuation of the series on movement for pain reduction and pain management, I want to introduce you to a therapy you already know how to do. You've done it most of your life, but I'm going to help you dig a little bit deeper and learn how to do it better in the context of pain management. Today's topic is on walking. But first, I want to start the episode by sharing a personal story with you that happened about 3 years ago. It was day 12, and I had been out of the ICU for several days, still tethered to Charlie. Charlie was the five-wheel drug pole from which hung my drug pump, the pump delivering a cocktail of five drugs to my spinal column to rid me of pain. Despite the modern miracles of medicine, the intense CRPS in my left foot still kept me awake most nights. It was 3 a.m., and I had just polished off my last styrofoam cup of raspberry sherbet. The Netflix binge that I was watching no longer held my interest. I was in bed way too long, and my back started spasming. I started going stir-crazy. What else was there to do at 3 a.m.? But take Charlie for a walk. We couldn't go too far or leave the floor. If I tried, my cardiac telemetry unit would alarm, alerting the nursing police an inmate was trying to escape. Grumbling, I donned those special oversized hospital slippers and headed out for a few laps around the floor. Charlie and I were making our way past the nurse's station, and most of them were heads down staring into their monitors. However, my nurse, of course, spied me. "Where do you think you're going?" "Just a few laps to break up the monotony and loosen up my back. That is, unless you prefer to push some more muscle relaxers." She was really a kind person, and she asked if I needed her to accompany me. I declined. On my third lap around the floor, I noticed the pain in my foot seemed to fade. This realization sparked a thought. Walk until you feel no pain. Over an hour and 45 minutes later, and about 43 laps, my pain was gone. For the first time since my surgery, I was pain-free. When I returned to my room, I was able to drift off to sleep. 2 hours later, I awoke in searing pain. The foot that felt no pain hours earlier now raged as though stabbed with red-hot ice picks again and again. However, relief was only a button push away. After the nurse injected Dilaudid into my IV, my pain eased but didn't go away. My doctor arrived for our early morning powwow, and he explained, "We have to structure and monitor your physical activity to fend off any flares. Increases in your activities must be small and incremental, on the order of a few minutes a few days apart." Minutes, days apart, I've already been here 2 weeks. He continued, "We must accomplish a few things taking considerable time. First, we must taper you off the large doses of drugs pumped into your spine and do so without withdrawal symptoms. Second, you must develop your strength, balance, and muscle tone that you've lost from being sedentary for so long, and that takes time. And finally, we have to determine," he said, "if we can reduce your medication and pain to the point where you can function and leave the hospital." While this wasn't the news I had wished to hear, I found consolation when he explained movement is a healthy pain reliever for me, specifically walking. over the next few weeks, carefully monitored, the distances I walked increased. I also started physical therapy to regain balance and strength I had lost, and when my pain would increase from a reduction in the intrathecal medication, I walked. My dependence on medication pumped into my spine eventually decreased to the point where I became a candidate for a spinal cord stimulator implant, which thankfully was successful. And a month later, after that initial flare, I finally left the hospital. This brings us to the subject of today's podcast, which falls under the general classification of endurance, but specifically walking. Walking is one of the best exercises you can do to develop greater endurance. The walking activities or exercises you can easily adjust to meet your needs from a leisurely stroll to an Olympic walking race. But for some, walking isn't easy. In fact, it just might be painful. So what do? You walk anyway. As long as you don't cause injury or further harm to yourself, but doing so only after you confer with a doctor or physical therapist, walking should be incorporated into your treatment plan. You might establish a 4-week goal to walk a quarter of a mile in 5 minutes. A brisk walking pace for 1 mile can be between 15 and 20 minutes. Measuring steps is one way to measure and monitor your progress. There is a better option because it's easily measurable. To do this, invest in a pedometer. It automatically counts the steps that you take, and they're not very expensive. Some wellness programs offer them for free, so you might want to check with your insurance company to see if they have a service that provides them for free. But there's even a better option if you have a smartphone. There are apps that not only measure your steps, but they will also map where you've walked. The idea is to increase the number of steps at regular intervals, increasing your distance as a function of percentage. Someone asked me, what's the difference between power walking and running? Well, power walking or speed walking is usually considered from 3 to 5 miles an hour, but some power walkers reach speeds of 7 to 10 miles per hour. During speed walking, your heart rate is elevated. You can burn more calories this way than walking at your usual pace. Power walking burns a similar number of calories as running. For example, power walking at 4.5 miles per hour for 1 hour would burn the same number of calories as jogging at 4.5 miles an hour. And some of the muscles you use in your lower back and gluteus maximus are different and better exercised when walking compared to jogging or running. For an effective workout, try pace training. Increase your speed for a minute or two at a time and then slow back down. Speed walking doesn't burn as many calories as flat out running, but it can be an effective way to elevate your heart rate, boost your mood, and improve your aerobic fitness level. Due to inherent balance challenges caused by some medications used in pain management, running as a form of exercise is strongly discouraged. Besides pain reduction, there are other benefits to walking. One, it burns calories. Walking can help you burn calories and help you maintain or lose weight. Your actual calorie burn will depend upon several factors, including walking speed, the distance you cover, the terrain, and your weight. Benefit number two is it strengthens your heart. Walking at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, can reduce your risk of coronary heart disease by about 19%. And your risk may reduce even more when you increase the duration or distance you walk per day. Number three, walking can help you lower your blood sugar. Taking a short walk after eating may help lower your blood sugar. A small study found that taking a 15-minute walk 3 times a day after breakfast, lunch, and dinner improved blood sugar levels more than taking a 45-minute walk at any other point during the day. Consider making a post-meal walk a regular part of your routine. It can also help you fit exercise in throughout the day. And if you maybe miss one of those 3 walks per day, it won't be the end of the earth, but yet you still get some workout in. 4. Walking boosts your immune function. Walking may reduce your risk for developing a cold or flu. One study tracked 1,000 adults during flu season. Those who walked at a moderate pace for 30 to 45 minutes a day had 43% fewer sick days and fewer upper respiratory tract infections. Their symptoms were also lessened if they did get sick. That was compared to adults in the study who were sedentary. To experience these benefits, you need to try to walk daily. If you live in a cold climate, you can try to walk on a treadmill or around in an indoor mall. 5. Boost your energy through walking. Going for a walk when you're tired may be more effective at boosting your energy than grabbing a cup of coffee. Walking increases oxygen flow through the body, and it can increase the levels of cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine. Those are the hormones that help develop higher energy levels. 6, improve your mood. Walking can help your mental health. Research shows it can help anxiety, depression, and a negative mood. It can also boost self-esteem and reduce symptoms of social withdrawal. To experience these benefits, aim for 30 minutes of a brisk walk or other moderate intensity exercise at least 3 times a week. You can also break it up into 3 10-minute walks. 7, walking at a faster pace could extend your life. Researchers found that according to an average pace compared to a slow pace resulted in a 20% reduced risk of overall death. But walking at a brisk or fast pace at least 5 miles per hour reduced the risk by 24%. The study looked at the association of walking at a faster pace with factors like overall causes of death, cardiovascular disease, and death from cancer. 8. Tone your legs. Walking can strengthen the muscles in your legs. To build up more strength, walk up a hilly area or on a treadmill at an incline, or find routes with stairs. Also, trade off walking with other cross-training activities like cycling. You can perform exercises like squats, lunges, and leg curls to further tone and strengthen your leg muscles. 9. Creative thinking. Walking may help clear your head and help you think creatively. A study that included 4 experiments compared people trying to think of new ideas while they were walking or sitting. Researchers found participants did better while walking, particularly while walking outdoors. The researchers concluded that walking opens up a free flow of ideas and a simple way to increase creativity and get physical activity at the same time. Now, 10, and probably the best reason to walk, is it eases joint pain. Walking can help protect joints, including your knees and hips, and that's because it helps lubricate and strengthen the muscles that support the joints. Walking may also provide pain reduction benefits for people living with arthritis, and walking 5 to 6 miles a week might help prevent arthritis in the first place. So let me jump back to creative thinking for a moment. Try to initiate a walking meeting with your colleagues the next time you're stuck on a problem at work. A concierge doctor I know who works in Scottsdale meets with her patients at their home, and she conducts many of her appointments with her patients while taking them on a walk throughout their neighborhood. There's not only an exercise benefit, but she gets to see how well they walk, function, breathe, etc., and she takes their vitals before and after the walk to assess their recovery time, which is a strong indicator of overall fitness. So how do you start your own walking program? Well, thankfully the learning curve is quite short because it's something you already know how to do. You've been doing it most of your life. So there's no great or high-level skill that you have to master to achieve positive results. To get started walking, all you need is a pair of sturdy walking shoes. Choose a walking route near your home or look for a scenic place to walk in your area, such as a trail or on a beach. You can also recruit a friend or family member to walk with you and hold you accountable. Alternately, you can integrate walking into your daily routine, and here are some ideas. If you commute, get off your bus or train 1 stop early and walk the rest of the way to work. Also, park further away from your office than you normally do and walk to and from your car. And lastly, consider walking instead of driving when you run errands. You can complete your tasks and fit in exercise at the same time. So how do you choose the right shoes? Well, keep in mind, walking is a natural rolling motion from heel to toe, with your foot bending at the ball on each step. If your walking shoes are not flexible enough, your ankle and shin muscles end up fighting your shoes, and you can end up with tired, sore feet and aching shins. Many shoes marketed as walking shoes are not flexible at all. They're built for comfort and stability and not for brisk walking. Most running shoes are flexible, but many don't bend at the right place for a walking step versus a running step. So-called comfort shoes may have the same pitfalls and be either too stiff or too unstructured. To find the right pair of walking shoes, put each candidate through the following tests. These are quality tests. First, look at the heel. It should be no more than half an inch higher than the sole under the ball of the foot, and there should be no flare. Next, grip the shoe in your hands and twist it. Not only should it twist latitudinally, but it should also bend at the ball of the foot and not in the middle of the arch. Finally, set the shoe on the floor and poke the toe. If it's well designed, the heel should be slightly off the ground and rock a little when poked. When searching for the right walking shoe, don't get hung up on labels. If you find a flexible flat shoe with a minimal heel drop, it may be perfectly suited for your walking, even if it's labeled as a running shoe. Similarly, there are many walking shoes that have all the bells and whistles but are anything but flexible and flat. To make the right choice, always place function before fashion. Sure, you want to look great, but it's more important to find something that makes walking a joy. You can usually find a good pair for between $60 and $120. Anything more, and you'll just be paying for style. Disregard whether the shoe is labeled as a running or walking shoe. Again, look at the heel. It should be no more than a half inch higher than the sole. The shoe should be flexible. It should not only twist latitudinally, but it should also bend easily at the ball of the foot and not the middle of the arch. And again, finally, put the shoe on the floor and poke at the toe. The toe should be slightly off the ground, and it should cause the heel to lift off the floor when you push the toe down. So here are some tips for staying safe while walking. Walk in areas designated for pedestrians. Look for well-lit areas if possible. Next, if you walk in the evening or early morning hours, wear a reflective vest or light colors so cars can see you. Wear sturdy shoes with a good heel and good arch support that are flexible. Wear loose and comfortable clothing, and before and after you walk, drink plenty of water and stay hydrated. This is especially critical if you walk in hot, arid, dry desert areas such as Phoenix or Tucson, Arizona. And of course, wear sunscreen to prevent sunburn. I mentioned before that one of the options for tracking your walking is using a smartphone with apps. And I'd like to share three apps with you that I like in the order of least favorite to most favorite. The first app is called Map My Walk GPS. It's for iPhone, Android, and Windows phones. Map My Walk allows you to see the time spent walking, the distance, pace, speed, elevation, and calories burned. When you finish, Map My Walk allows you to upload and save your workout data and view it in both the app and on the Map My Walk website. So that's a pretty handy tool. If you can persuade friends to get involved, Map My Walk's social feature lets you share routes and encouraging words. You can also load a saved route to use again or select routes that other Map My Walk users have done in your area. You can connect with other wearable apps such as Fitbit, Garmin, Jawbone, and MyFitnessPal if you happen to use those. The next app is the Fitbit Mobile Tracker app, and you don't need to own a Fitbit to use the app. The app can track your walking workouts with GPS as well as steps using the motion sensor on your phone. After downloading the application and being prompted to select which tracker you're setting up, choose the No Fitbit Yet option if you don't have a Fitbit, and it will set up the mobile tracker for you. Following each workout, you can review your route, distance, time, pace, mile, split times, calories burned, and steps. You can also challenge your friends with virtual adventure races if you feel like a bit of friendly competition. Now, for my favorite walking app, it's called Walk for a Dog by WolfTrack. WolfTrack is a simple year-round fundraising app. It promotes healthy interaction between dogs and their owners, and it raises money every day, every time you walk, to support the mission of your animal shelter or rescue service for the breed of your choice. It also gives people a reason to think about their local animal organizations every time they walk their dogs. This is the app that my wife and I use to provide funding for one of the Arizona Miniature Schnauzer Rescue Organizations. If you don't live in chronic pain, but you have a friend or family member of someone who lives in chronic pain, I hope you will consider inviting them to go on a walk with you. Who knows, you might just learn about who they really are and what makes them tick.
I value listener input. Your input, comments, suggestions, and constructive criticism are all necessary for me to provide you with the greatest listening experience. So I want to do an exchange with you. What do I mean by exchange? It's just a play on words. In exchange for the time you invest in telling me about your listening experience with my podcast, I'm giving away one multi-sport tracker with GPS. I want to provide you with the highest listening experience and content. To do that for you, I have to hear from you. I want to discuss those things addressing your interests or needs. Please know this podcast will always remain a journey for excellence. To provide me with feedback and get your chance at the tracker, go to strivingtothriving.com and in the main menu, you'll see the podcast menu option under which you'll find the exchange page for giving me your feedback. I want to thank you in advance for your feedback. I will announce the winner in mid-December, and several times throughout the year we'll host giveaways, so you want to stay tuned and not miss an episode.
There are psychological and social benefits that I hardly touched on today, and I'd like to talk about that for a minute. Lastly, my 96-year-old dad lived in his neighborhood for over 30 years, and he knew many of the neighbors on his street and the adjacent streets as well. Every day, he would rendezvous with a few other ladies from the neighborhood, and they would all walk their dogs together. All of them became close friends. But about a year and a half ago, my dad moved to a rural area east of Flagstaff, where the lots are large and far apart. He didn't know anybody in the neighborhood, but every day he took his schnauzer on roughly a 1 mile walk. Over the course of months, while walking his dog every day, he met some wonderful people that he now calls friends.
And that would have never happened had he stayed in his recliner and watched life tick away.
You've been listening to Striving to Thriving, and I'm your host, David Hall. Until next time, be well and take care of each other.